Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. We begin with MultiChoice, which has been the target of Canal Plus's affections, although it hasn't been a happy romance throughout. In fact, things did get rather nasty at one point, with all the typical gamesmanship and strategy that plays out in corporate mergers and acquisitions. MultiChoice's independent board wasn't happy with the initial price of 105 Rand per share put forward by Canal Plus, and they pushed back. In turn, Canal Plus triggered a mandatory offer at this price, which means they went through the 35% ownership barrier at MultiChoice and therefore had to make an offer to all the other shareholders. To avoid a further back and forth, which could easily have been a mandatory offer at 105 Rand and then a subsequent offer down the line, they decided to cut to the chase and increase their mandatory offer price to 125 Rand, which is a price at which the MultiChoice independent board is willing to cooperate. This suggests that there's some strategic pressure for this deal, as Canal Plus would surely have picked up a decent number of shares at 105 Rand and then could have come back down the line to make the 125 Rand offer. The latest announcement by MultiChoice gives us some clue as to what the hurry could be, with Canal Plus talking about a potential breakup of parent company Vivendi. This may well lead to Canal Plus being a separately listed entity, which in turn talks to a potential merger or similar with MultiChoice, and then the combined group potentially being listed on the JSE. At this stage, we can only dream of how cool that media and streaming company would be, with serious exposure across not just Africa. For now, the deal on the table is a 125 Rand per share mandatory offer, which means there's no guarantee right now of MultiChoice delisting. In fact, the only obvious route to a delisting here is if holders of 90% of the remaining shares accept the offer, in which case Canal Plus can invoke the squeeze-out provision. The alternative structure would have been a scheme of arrangement, which needs a 75% approval, and then all shareholders are bound by that decision. They wouldn't have been able to take the fast track with that route though, as they would have first needed to go through the mandatory offer and then propose a scheme of arrangement. Loads of interesting corporate finance and M&A strategy has played out here. Over at Grindrod Shipping, the M&A is a little bit simpler but is still nuanced. Taylor Maritime Investments holds 83.23% of the company, and I'm not surprised to see them coming in to finish the job. Instead of a straightforward offer to shareholders that would require Taylor to open its pockets, the structure is called a selective capital reduction. In other words, Grindrod Shipping's balance sheet will be used instead of Taylor's, leaving Taylor as the only shareholder in Grindrod Shipping after the minorities have been taken out, admittedly with a much smaller cash balance on the balance sheet. The price is a juicy 54.8% premium to the 30-day volume-weighted average price, so they are really making it worth the while of shareholders to take the deal. Still, we do need to wait for the independent financial expert to opine on the fairness of the transaction, and this will of course be included in the circular to shareholders. Yet another deal underway on the JSE is at MC Mining, where Goldway has locked horns against the independent board and there's been a flurry of activity up and down. Goldway's language has been colourful and provocative from the start, whereas the MC Mining board has taken a more measured view. Goldway also wasn't shy to try and cast doubt on as many things as possible, including the opinion put out by the independent expert. It's the old strategy of if you throw enough mud, some of it will stick. It seems like enough concern was created in the minds of shareholders for a rather surprising outcome that saw enough acceptances achieved for the deal to become unconditional. I say surprising for two reasons, really. The first is the independent board recommending that shareholders do not accept the deal, and clearly a bunch of them have. The second is the most recent communication from MC Mining that made it sound like Goldway didn't really have enough support for the offer to become unconditional. Either way, it turns out that they do in fact have enough support, and now they've extended the deadline for the offer to be accepted, so it will be interesting to see where they come out in terms of acceptances. The independent board and Goldway certainly won't be friends by the end of this process. And in the final M&A update for this show, we take a trip to India, where Sunlum is doing some clever stuff with its Shriram investment. Sunlum has been exposed to India since 2005, with stakes in a few Shriram entities currently at play. In a pretty smart move, the company is selling down its stake in Shriram Finance from 10.19% to 9.54%. The strategic difference between those two stakes is basically zero, so all this is doing is unlocking capital. Then they are using the capital to partly fund an increase in Shriram General Insurance from 40.25% to 50.99%, and in Shriram Life Insurance from 42.38% to 54.40%. Lots of numbers there, but if you listened carefully, both of them are over 50%, which means a controlling stake in both entities. Now, the caveat here is I'm genuinely not sure if there are any special provisions in those companies that prevent this from being an acquisition of control, but on the face of it at least, it looks like Sanlam has swapped non-strategic exposure for much more strategic exposure to one of the most exciting emerging markets on the planet. Best of all, they've managed to do it in a way that is so capital efficient that they've minimized the additional investment required from South Africa to make it happen. That's good stuff from Sanlam. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.